Hi, everybody. My name is Victoria Barth, and I'm very honored to come here today and talk to you about my research. So the talk today is titled Microbial Community Response to Limine, pH, Aluminum, and Iron in Stratified No-Till Palouse Soils. So first things first, what's the issue? Well, as Dr. Sullivan had just showed us, between 40 and 70% of the world's soils is acidified, which means they've dropped below their native pH, or a pH of 7. Now, the reason that this is important is because when the pH is lowered, it changes nutrient availabilities. So certain nutrients that are essential for plant growth, like phosphorus, calcium, and magnesium, decrease. And other nutrients, like aluminum, that can become toxic in higher concentrations, become more bioavailable. And as Tara had stated, there are several types of ways that soils can become acidified, anthropogenic and natural sources of acidity. However, I'm going to focus specifically today on the anthropogenic addition of fertilizers and how that reduces soil acidity. So what I've put up here is a very simplified chemical equation for what happens when we add ammonium fertilizers to the soil. And what I'd like you to pay attention to is this particular product here. So for every 1 unit of ammonium that's being added to the soil, we're getting 2 protons displaced into the soil solution. And while one application of fertilizer may not be a big issue, over time, these protons can build up and in turn increase the soil acidity. And if we look at this chart here, we can see from 1960 to 2010, a 50-year difference, nitrogen fertilizer use has increased by 433%. So not only are we increasing our soil acidity, we're doing it more rapidly than we ever have before. Now, I'd like to talk about soil acidity specifically in my area of study, in our region of the Palouse. Now, the Palouse is a very unique part of Washington and Idaho because it is formed out of lush, silty loam soils. And these soils can be up to 5 feet deep, creating a very fertile, very fruitful agricultural land. Now, this graphic here by Mahler shows a 20-year span where soil was sampled. And something that you should just pay attention to is the change in color and texture shown. And the majority of the changes in these soils are from less acidic to more acidic. And the black denoting some of these soils or counties have soil. I'm trying to learn how to explain this. Sorry. The graphic shows that some of these counties have soils with over. Sorry, Tara. I've gotten stuck on this one before. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how to say this. Oh, I was supposed to push through. Sorry. Okay. So what I'd like to draw your attention to is the black counties in 1980. These show soils that have been sampled and show a pH below 6, and in that county, over 65% of those soils were acidic. Now, compounding this issue is another factor called no-tillage. No-tillage is a new management type where farmers do not actually mechanically till up the top inches of their soil. They use a disc, as shown in these photos here, to place a seed in the fertilizer within the soil without disturbing it, well, with minimal disturbance. A lot of farmers in our area are turning to no-tillage systems because it reduces erosion along with a myriad of other benefits. However, there's an issue. They're still adding nitrogen fertilizer year after year. And what's happening is those protons are not being mechanically mixed throughout the entire topsoil. They're staying in that specific seeding zone. So the 4 to 8 centimeter range is building up the free protons, and it's creating an extremely stratified and acidic zone. This creates issues for plants and is even increasing aluminum toxicity in that zone. And farmers traditionally use lime to increase the pH when they notice these symptoms are occurring. However, in these no-tillage systems, they cannot mechanically mix the lime into their soil, which means that they're now working with broadcasting lime and trying to see how effective that is. However, not much is known about how broadcast lime affects the soil, let alone the microbial community. So our question for our study is, how does broadcast liming in no-tillage systems affect the microbial community composition? To answer this question, we started looking at 2 different field sites. One was located in Pullman, and it is called the Palouse Conservation System. Now, this site is in native prairie vegetation. The second site we chose was 76 miles north at a site called Rockford, and this site was natively in pine forest. Both sites now are being managed under no-till systems. However, for the brevity of this talk, I'm actually going to be only looking at the PCFS site. Now, when farmers consider liming their fields, the number one cost, or most generally the number one cost to liming a field is the transportation. So when farmers in the Palouse are looking to lime their fields, they're looking for close sources. Sugar beets are actually grown in Idaho, and there are several processing plants in Idaho and Washington. And sugar beet lime is a byproduct of sugar beet processing, and there's a plant only 150 miles away from the Palouse. That's why this was selected for this experiment. Now, the sugar beet lime has an 83% calcium carbonate equivalent, or CCE. Now, our study was a part of a much larger study conducted by the Huggins Labs, specifically Dave Huggins and Carol McFarland, and because of that, they've applied the lime in several rates. However, we are only using the highest rate, the 2,000 pounds per acre of CCE equivalent for our study. Now, you're also going to find in the right-hand side that there's a chemical analysis of this lime, and that's because this is a byproduct. It is not pure calcium carbonate. The second lime is our new cow lime, or a liquid lime, and it's unique because it has a very small particle size of 1 to 2 microns. It has a 98% CCE, and it's made by Columbia River Carbonates, which is only 200 miles away from Palouse Agriculturalists. Once again, this was applied in several or five rates. However, we used the highest rate, the 2,000 pounds per acre CCE. So sampling was conducted in April of 2014 and 2015 for this two-year study. Three plots were sampled from each treatment, 15 cores were taken from each plot, and each core then was divided by depth in 2-centimeter increments. These were separated, then composited, and homogenized. The following tests were conducted on each sample. That's located in the right-hand corner of your screen. So let's get to the results. This chart here shows the terminal restriction fragment length polymorphism data that has gone through non-metric multi-dimensional scaling. I'll have to practice that. Non-metric multi-dimensional scaling. The bacterial community here was extracted with the 16S gene. And so I am going to be showing circles that I put in the graphs. These are by no means statistically significant. They're just there for easier visual assessment of the community. Now, this first circle here shows the 2014 community composition, and the blue shows the 2015. Now, we can conclude from seeing the difference here that there seems to be a reduction in variability in the community composition from year 2014 to 2015 under the sugar beet lime treatment. And when we look at the overlay by plot, we can see that aluminum and copper seem to be trending with the axis 3, and iron and pH seem to be moving with axis 2. And for our purposes, we're going to be looking at the aluminum. So if we look at the aluminum extraction from that soil, 2014 is shown in blue and 2015 is shown in green, we can see that there is a significant difference in the second depth here, the 2 to 4 centimeter, in the 8 to 10 centimeter range. Now, when we look at the fungal community, the ITS fungal community's responses to the sugar beet lime, we can see here that 2014 and 2015, there is almost a reverse effect compared to the bacterial community. We're seeing an increase in variation and variance from year one to year two for the fungal community. And when we look at what's trending along axis one, we see pH and iron seem to be large factors from the biplot environmental overlay. When we look at the chemical analysis of the pH, we see that all depths are increases, but there's a significant increase in pH in the 4 to 6 centimeter and the 6 to 8 centimeter depths. Now, this is the seeding depth, which is good to know. If we look at the iron, we actually are now seeing from 2014 to 2015 a significant decrease in iron availability at all 5 depths. Now, this can be explained simply if you think about the pH is increasing, which does decrease the iron availability. Now, moving on to our second treatment, the liquid lime or NewCal lime. This is the bacteria community, and in 2014, this is the 2014 community composition and the 2015 community composition. Now, once again, we can see a very slight reduction in variance, but also it seems that spatially the community is taking up a different part of the graft. And when we look at what's trending on the biplot environmental overlay, we see pH is actually pH is working with Axis 1. What am I trying to say? With Axis 1. Correlated with Axis 1. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. It's correlated with Axis 1. And when we look at the pH change, 2014 being in blue and 2015 being in gray, we see that all five depths showed a significant increase in pH. And once again, the fungal community, we look at 2014 to 2015, we see a similar trend with an increase in variability in that microbial community composition. And we see that pH and aluminum now is trending with Axis 2. And when we look at the aluminum, we're seeing an actual increase in the bottom two depths in terms of KCl extractable aluminum. Now, there are several reasons why this could be. One hypothesis is that we are in a xeric soil moisture regime. We have a lot of effective precipitation in winter. So any precipitation we get can actually move free ions and anything in the soil solution downward. It could be one possible reason why we are seeing this. So what does this mean? Overall, we can conclude that liming affects microbial community composition in stratified no-tillage soils related to soil chemistry. And pH and aluminum are environmental factors that do drive community composition. And if we generalize it, we can say that fungal communities are responding by increasing their variability in community composition, while bacteria communities seem to be doing the opposite, decreasing in their variability. Now, work on these plots, still are continuing. We're continuing to conduct experiments to understand more about the aluminum biochemistry in these soils and the microbial community. I'd like to acknowledge and give a special thanks to everybody who made this research possible, the WCU New Faculty and Seed Grant, the Sullivan Lab, the Washington Grain Commission, and the Huggins Lab.